All right. Welcome back, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower here till 5 a.m. It's Monday morning. That means my dad's going to call up and tell a jokey time. So that's all coming up. We're going to talk about musicals, your favorite Broadway musicals, your favorite movie musicals, and we'll talk about some of the greatest of all time. And in honor of the reason why we're doing this is because, well, one, I'm showing Little Shop of Horrors, a terrific musical, on the big screen at my film club screening tomorrow at the AMC Rosemont 18, formerly MovieCo, and it's got the alternate ending. It's really a great, great, great movie. It's going to be so much fun to see on the big screen. And then last night, NBC broadcast Jesus Christ Superstar live in concert, and it was great. I loved it. There were several times when it made me tear up and cry. And I've always liked Jesus Christ Superstar. It's always been, you know, a really, you know, one of my favorite musicals. And I thought they did an extraordinary job with it last night. And if you guys watched it, I'd love to hear from you if you watched Jesus Christ Superstar last night. Of all of the, you know, this trend now from the past few years of doing musicals live on TV, this is by far the best of any of the live musicals that they've been doing for the networks. By far the best. And everybody involved should be really, really proud. It was tremendous. The way it was staged, the way the stage looked, the costumes, the ideas, it was really very cool and very, very rock and roll. And and John Legend did a great job as Jesus. So if you saw Jesus Christ Superstar last night, I'd love to hear from you. 630 area code says, Jesus Christ Superstar was a beautiful presentation. Carol said, I enjoyed it. I still prefer the original, but did a really nice job. There were a lot of commercials, though. Yeah, they did. I mean, you can't, they got to do the commercials. Unless one company sponsors something, you're going to get a lot of commercials. 708 error code said Sarah B as Mary M was perfect. Yes, she's got an extraordinary voice, and she was great. Everybody was great. 708 area code says, oh my God, Superstar was absolutely phenomenal. John Legend put his soul into his performance, moved me beyond belief. Love Judas Caesar, and of course, Alice as Herod was out of this world. The entire cast was perfect. Costumes, staging, everything was perfect, and it was so very powerful. I love the original movie and the soundtrack since it came out, and I know it by heart, and this performance did not disappoint and blew me away. I must purchase the Blu-ray. Glad to hear you loved it. I did love it, and I will be getting the Blu-ray myself. I didn't, you know what? I just watched it, Dan. I didn't DVR it.
Yeah, you know, and I think in the past they've ran it two or three days after.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be on demand. I think you could probably get it on NBC on demand,
especially with this amount of good buzz.
Yeah. Well, see, nice job there using the word buzz.
Yeah, you know,
very nice, very really nice, can. Very nice. The thing about it, the reason why I didn't DVR it, Dan, I've got one of those old DVRs that, like, you know, I have to, if I'm DVRing two things at once, I have to watch one of them. So, and I had, like, Ash versus Evil Dead DVRing because my future ex-wife, Dana DiLorenzo, is going to be on the show in a couple of days, and we have to talk about last night's episode, which I'm going to watch this morning when I get home. And I have other things on Sunday nights that I DVR,
sure.
So I just watched the Jesus Christ Superstar, but I'm sure they're going to repeat it.
You'd imagine.
Yeah. So, but yeah, Jesus Christ Superstar has always been very, very cool. I've always thought it was very cool. And I have a few things that you might not know about Jesus Christ Superstar. In the 1970s, an opera about Jesus of Nazareth helped blaze the trail between rock and roll and musical theater. Though Jesus Christ Superstar's radical songs divided religious groups, they conquered the Billboard charts. The show ushered in Broadway's British invasion of the 70s and 80s, setting the stage for mega hits like Cats and Les Miserables. It started out as a concept album because no producer wanted to put it on stage. Lyricist Tim Rice and composer Andrew Lloyd Webber, who met in 1965 when they were 20 and 17, respectively, enjoyed their first taste of shared success with Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat in 68. Next, the duo focused on another biblical figure, Jesus of Nazareth. The pair envisioned a daring new rock musical that would retell, from Judas's perspective, the story of Christ's betrayal and execution. But Lloyd Webber and Rice couldn't find anyone who was willing to produce the project as a stage show. Lloyd Webber recalled that they were told it was the worst idea in history, So they transformed it into an 87-minute two-disc concept album instead, which was released in 1970. I remember that album was a staple in our house, and it's that, you know, that classic sort of, you know, that, you know, the album cover. But that was how it happened. The apparent setback may have been a blessing in disguise. Both men argued that by writing Superstar as an album at the onset, they were able to streamline the score more effectively than they otherwise could have. Doing it on record, Rice said, made it shorter, cut out the book, made it more contemporary, made it more rock, gave it all the energy, identified it more with a younger audience. And it made its Broadway debut in 1971. Another little fact is a Bob Dylan lyric inspired the musical's depiction of Judas. That lyric, "Did Judas Iscariot have God at his side," from the 1964 song "With God on Our Side." Lloyd Webber later said the line was Tim's starting point for the text. He was not an unintelligent man. Judas was not an unintelligent man, and how much was the whole thing in the end an accident of what was necessary given the politics of the day. And Andrew Lloyd Webber wrote part of the titular song on a napkin. One day in 1969, he was walking down London's Fulham Road when the tune popped into his head. I was passing a restaurant called Carlo's Place, and I knew the owner a little bit. I went into the restaurant, and I said, "Can you give me a piece of paper?" he recalled. I was so frightened I'd lose it, but instead of getting a piece of paper, Lloyd Webber was handed a napkin, and he jotted down the main theme for Jesus Christ Superstar, arguably the show's most recognizable anthem. The melody of I Don't Know How to Love Him was taken from the unreleased song called Kansas Morning. Kansas Morning, an ode to the Sunflower State, was co-written by Rice and Lloyd Webber and published in 1967. I love the Kansas Morning, the song went. Kansas missed at my window later while composing Superstar. The musicians refitted their old ballad with new lyrics, and Mary's Act One solo was born. So... And let's see. Yvonne Elliman was cast as the original Mary Magdalene after Lloyd Webber heard her singing in a nightclub. While rounding up vocalists for the concept album, Lloyd Webber visited the historic Pheasantry Club in Chelsea to see if a jazz singer performed there would be a good fit for Pontius Pilate. "I decided he was quite wrong for the part," Lloyd Webber told the Daily Mail in 2012. But his warm-up act, a gorgeous 17-year-old Hawaiian girl named Yvonne Elliman, accompanied herself on guitar, and she was extraordinary. "Everything I wanted for Mary Magdalene was there right in front of me." He called Rice, who agreed that we had found our Mary. Elliman would become the album's only singer to reprise her role on Broadway with the 71 arena tour of the show and Jesus Christ Superstar's also 73 film adaptation. Lloyd Webber hated the original Broadway production. The original two-disc concept Superstar album was released in September of 70. By February of 71, it hit number one on the Billboard chart. Soon, American fans began staging unauthorized live productions in churches and in theaters around the country. So producer Robert Stigwood proposed putting in an official Jesus Christ Superstar concert tour. The first performance took place at Pittsburgh Civic Arena on July 12th of 1971. The next logical step would be take the show to Broadway. Superstar opened there in October. The production, directed by Tim O'Horgan, was panned by many critics, including New York Times' Clive Barnes, who wrote, "I must confess to experiencing some disappointment. It all rather resembled one's first sight of the Empire State Building. Not all that uninteresting, but somewhat unsurprising." Lloyd Webber absolutely despised it. "Never, in my opinion, was so wrong a production mounted of my work," he later said. "Brash and vulgar interpretation." Despite his misgivings, Superstar ran for more than 700 shows and got nominated for 5 Tonys. It failed to win any. It also offended religious groups, which is not shocking. The show was protested by the American Jewish Committee in the Anti-Defamation League. American evangelist Billy Graham also wasn't a fan. He accused the musical of bordering on blasphemy and sacrilege, and he also objected to the fact that it leaves out the resurrection. There is no resurrection. There is no Christianity. Though he did acknowledge that if the production causes young people to search their Bibles, to that extent, it would be beneficial. A few organizations did rise to its defense. For example, in 1971, the Vatican's radio station aired the concept album in its entirety, along with some remarks from Lloyd Webber, Rice, and various other religious figures. "Nothing like this has ever been broadcast on Vatican radio until now, but we feel that this is a work of considerable importance." How about this one? Pope Paul VI was treated to a private advanced screening of the 1973 movie version. Jesus Christ Superstar was twice adapted to film. The first movie came out in 73. The straight-to-video remake was released in 2000. Oh, I didn't even know there was one. Dan, did you know that? that there was a straight-to-video remake?
I did not know that, no.
Wow. I believe I need to seek this out. It's probably terrible, but... He arranged a special screening, but director, the Academy Award nominated director Norman Jewison, who directed the original 73 version, arranged a special screening for the Pope. Mr. Jewison, not only do I appreciate your beautiful rock opera film, I believe it will bring more people to the world of Christianity than anything has ever before. That's what the Pope said. So the Pope dug it, man. Pope's hip. It prompted Richard O'Brien to start writing the Rocky Horror Picture Show. This is the weirdest one on here. This is really weird.
I know, right?
Following a stint with Hair's touring cast, Richard O'Brien joined the London production of Superstar in 72. I was contracted to play the chorus for 3 months and then take over the role of Herod. But O'Brien's Herod was a vain Elvis impersonator, and powers that be were not impressed. When push came to shove, they decided they didn't want me as Herod. They gave me $300 and let me go. I went home and started writing Rocky on my guitar. I was angry because they had the nerve to call Superstar a rock opera. There are some nice songs in there, but rock and roll it isn't. Writing Rocky was a pleasure, and my love of real rock and roll drove the songs. That's fantastic. And then finally, one production's search for a leading man turned into a reality TV show. In 2012... Britain's ITV launched Superstar, a televised contest in the vein of The Voice. At the time, a new Jesus Christ Superstar concert tour was being organized in the UK, and the series, produced by Lloyd Webber, allowed dozens of contestants to vie for the role of Jesus. In the end, Sutherland native Ben Forrester was the winner. He appeared in the tour alongside former Spice Girl Mel C and also served as a judge on the show. So there you go, some things you might not know about Jesus Christ Superstar. Do you know, Dan, that Ted Neely, I believe, still plays Jesus?
Oh, yeah.
And he's got to be, what is he, 70?
You know, one of our listeners, Carol, said it was wondering the same thing, how old he is.
Yeah, I mean, and he's fantastic. I mean, obviously, that's the Jesus, you know what I mean, for the role.
Sure.
That's the guy.
74.
74, and he's still doing it? Amazing. All right, well, there you go. There are some facts about Jesus Christ Superstar. And if you didn't see the production that they did on NBC last night, look for it, download it, get it on demand. It was absolutely great and beautiful. So now we're going to be talking about musicals. What are your favorites? 312-981-7200. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How's everybody doing? It is a Monday morning. My dad's going to call in and tell a joke a little bit later on. And we're talking about musicals. What are some of your favorite musicals of all time? Ones that you loved, maybe some musicals that you saw on stage, or that are some of your favorite movie musicals. And this was because Jesus Christ Superstar live in concert last night on NBC was so great that it got me thinking about, hey, let's talk about some of our favorite musicals. So get in here and talk or text us right now, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Here's Tom on WGN. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how you doing, Nick?
All right.
I agree with you. I thought last night, I thought it was unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah. I knew John Legend was good. I had no idea he was that good.
Yeah, no, he was great, man. And the dude who played Judas was unbelievable.
And who's that blonde guy who played Simon? I think his name was Simon Zealot. I think that was his name. And because I bought the album in the 70s, so I forgot his name. The only thing, I thought Alice Cooper hammed it up a little bit more.
Well, the thing about Alice Cooper is that Herod's got the one number. Just come out, do it, and he. But I mean, it was a showstopper. Literally, the place went nuts when Cooper walked out.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen him a couple times. The guy's great, but I thought it wasn't his. I think the director should have him come out in top hat and tails and really,
Yeah.
But that's nitpicking. I thought the whole thing was great. The guy who played Pilot was great.
Yeah, guy who played Pilot was all. If I'm not mistaken, Dan. I'm blanking on the guy's name. The guy who played Pilot was terrific. I think he's. I don't know, Tom. You ever watch the TV show The Exorcist?
No.
Well, nobody does. But I think
I'm a teacher. I don't need to watch it.
That's good, man. That's good. I think he's the dude, and I didn't know he could sing, but I think he's the lead in The Exorcist. He's one of the leads in The Exorcist. There are two, you know, because The Exorcist, I don't know if that show's even still on. But
I don't think it is. The two leads,
it's like a pair of rogue exorcists. Is it the guy from The Exorcist?
Yeah, Ben Daniels.
Ben Daniels. He was outstanding as pilot, and I had no idea he could sing.
I have one question. Do you think any of that was lip-synced?
No. I don't think so at all.
It seemed to me like Peter was faking it. I don't know.
No, I don't think. I thought the guy who played Peter.
I was just wondering.
No, I think it was all legit. They were all the actors were mic'd up. They had the, you know. They
yeah, I know. But mics and everything. It was great. It was just terrific. As far as other musicals go, I really liked Robin and the Seven Hoods.
Oh, yeah. There you go. All right, Tom. Thanks, buddy.
Okay. All take right, it easy. Bye.
Yeah, there you go. The Jesus Christ Superstar from last night. It's fantastic. We got some texts coming in about people's favorite musicals. Let's see. 630 area code said Meredith Wilson's The Music Man. It's a classic movie musical. They played it nonstop on HBO in the summer of 1981. That's what happens. Right, Dan? If something plays on HBO over and over and over again, you see it a bunch of times.
Yep.
Is that what happened with you, Ezreal? That's why you watched all those Comedy Central movies.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Doug in Kansas City said, my all-time favorite musical is Man of La Mancha, but Peter O'Toole and Sophia Loren's Sweet Fancy Moses. Yeah, the movie version of Man of La Mancha, not so much. I love the musical. I think the musical's terrific. I didn't like the movie, though. Steve says, my favorite dancing of any musical is Fred Astaire and Eleanor Powell dancing begin the Beguine in musical in Broadway Melody of 1940. All right. Esmeralda, do you like musicals?
I like some musicals.
Which ones do you
like? I like the ones where they don't break out into song. It's there's a few that I like that, but I mostly gravitate towards stuff like Cabaret and Chicago, where it's like they're on a stage.
Uh-huh.
And that's where the musical is happening.
Right.
Not where they just decide to just start singing out of nowhere.
Well, like, for instance... Jesus Christ Superstar, there's no dialogue in it. Everything is sung. So it's not like they suddenly break out into song because they sing everything in it. I mean, that's why they call it a rock opera. So what you're saying is like if someone's having a natural conversation, all of a sudden, hey, you know?
Yeah, for the most part, I like My Fair Lady. Mm-hmm. That's probably where I cut it off.
That's probably where you cut it off.
For those kinds of musicals.
Yeah.
But I really love Cabaret and Chicago.
Well, Cabaret is one of the best. Cabaret is, and the movie's great. The movie version of Cabaret is fantastic. And, I actually saw it with Alan Cumming. And he was phenomenal. Please. So anyway, all right. Listen, we're breaking. We're like Electric Boogaloo. All right, we're gonna break, and then we'll come back and talk more about your favorite musicals. 312-981-7200. Oh, hi, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. What's happening? We're live in the Allstate Studios here on the 7th floor of Trib Tower here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich is at 5 with the opening bell and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's Monday. That means my dad will be calling in to tell a joke because it's a jokey time. We'd like to start off your work week on Monday mornings with a joke from my dad, and he will be here to do that in a little bit. So last night, we've been talking about this. Last night, NBC broadcast a live sort of concert version of Jesus Christ Superstar. I thought it was great. I thought it was really great and beautifully staged and really just powerful. And it made me cry. And I just thought everything about it was really, really great. And I thought John Legend did a great job as well. And many of the other cast members belted out the songs. And the guy who played... Judas was a standout among great performances. Brandon Victor Dixon is his name, and he was great. And Esmeralda, as I mentioned, I was talking to the Colin and Eric a little bit earlier when they made their curtain call. When he came out for his curtain call, he did Wakanda Forever. He did the Wakanda Forever thing,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was awesome. I was like, that's pretty cool, man. So. Yeah, so I thought it was great, and that got me to thinking about other musicals. And I'm showing a musical tomorrow on the big screen. I'm showing Little Shop of Horrors, a classic musical from 1986. Rick Moranis, Ellen Green, Vincent Gardenia, Steve Martin. Great music, really fun. We're showing the alternate ending, too, so that got me to thinking about it. And I love that musical, so that got me thinking about other ones. So what do you guys think? 312-981-7200. You got a bunch of texts here. Let's see. And let's see. Harold says, I discovered something cool during the show last night. A song on the original soundtrack is called Heaven on the Mind. I never realized, but Johnny Trouble sampled it on his song Trouble Brewing, and I didn't realize it until the guitar player played it last night. Also, my favorite musical is West Side Story. Mark said, I thought it was an interesting update with appropriately emotional moments. Alice Cooper was good as Herod. Mary Magdalene's balladeer vice was appropriate. They got better as they warmed up. John Legend chose against many of Ian Gillan's high notes. Well, listen, just to be fair, Ian Gillan, who was lead singer of Deep Purple for many years, he was the original Jesus on the soundtrack, or the original concept album. That guy can hit notes that only dogs can hear. I mean, seriously. John Legend does not have that kind of voice. He does not have that kind of voice. And Legend, a couple of times, you know, during that performance last night, slipped into the falsetto. It was okay. It wasn't great. But no, Gillan can hit notes. Ian Gillan, man, please. That guy, if you listen to some Deep Purple songs, man, the high notes that guy hits, seriously, if you have a dog, he's going to go nuts. In fact, I don't think anyone will ever surpass Murray Head as Judas, Yvonne Elliman as Mary Magdalene, or Ian Gillan of Deep Purple as Jesus. Maybe I have original cast bias. Well, I can understand that. It's from the original cast album, the first album. Let's see. Peter Indicator said, I was completely overwhelmed and it was not what I expected at all. Mitch from Hobart says, nothing against John Legend, but that role was over his head. Check out Steve Balsamo on YouTube to see what it should be really like. Well, a lot of people have played the role. I don't think I've seen Steve Balsamo play it. But there you go. All right. 312-981-7200. We're going to get into other great musicals of all time. I mean, yeah, let's see what... here's Mike on WGN. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
All right.
You know what? I had no idea that was even on last night.
Yeah. Well, look for it on NBC.com or something because it was great.
But I used to have it on A-Track back in the 70s.
Sure.
For a while. But yep. Now I have it on... I've had it on CD for at least 25 years now.
Yeah. Classic and album.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
And like I say, Ian Gillan and Yvonne Elliman.
Yep.
But you're talking about the guy with the Rocky Horror Picture Show who says it wasn't a true rock musical.
Mm-hmm.
And Yvonne Elliman's first song on the album, Everything's All Right.
Yes.
You ever listen to the bass lick after that song?
Yeah.
I mean, it is. I mean, that and the betrayal between Judas and Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And the first song on the second side.
No, I mean, that's it. That no, you know, no, Mike, I agree with you. It's a rock album. I don't care.
Oh, yeah.
It is. And you, I'm telling you, Mike, you got to see last night because they rocked it out last night. They had amazing musicians on that stage. And there was no doubt that they went the rock route last night. Like, it was really, really hard.
Oh, and even the song Blood Money, you know, that, I mean, it's, you know, that's a great album.
It is, yeah, absolutely.
So.
All right. Look for it on NBC, man.
Yeah, I got to look for it. I had no idea it was on, but it's one of those albums where I throw on, like, every weekend.
Yeah. Boy, you really have to find, Mike, you really should have watched this last night. I think you got to find it because you're going to love it.
Sounds great.
Hey. All right, Mike, take care, buddy.
All right, Nick.
See
have a great day.
All right, buddy. There you go. Here's Rich on WGN. Hey, Rich.
Hi, Nick. Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, I did see the broadcast. Yeah, I was fairly impressed with it.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I was really impressed with was, and it's not going to leave my mind that quickly for a long time, was the very end, the crucifixion.
Oh, yeah.
And just the... I think that probably looked better on TV than the way they staged it and just executed it. I think viewers that saw it on TV probably had a better intention of what they were going for than the people, you know, live in the theater.
Well, the way they staged the crucifixion was beautiful and really stunning. And also, John Legend, clearly not afraid of heights.
Right.
I was like, dude, because they put him on the cross. Dan, they put him on the cross, then they do the crucifixion, and then there's an ascension. So the panels open up on the stage. There's a big light behind him, so there's glowing behind him, and he's on. It's basically, he's not on a cross. They put him on like a pole, and he put his arms out and a thing, and they bring him up on top, and I'm telling you, all the way up into the top of the theater.
Wow.
And that was John Legend. It wasn't like they brought some other dude. That was John Legend. And I was like, man, you know, I got to say, I'd be scared, man, because he was all the way up in the rafters. They put the cross went all the way up to the top and then moved back. And it
brought chills to me.
Oh, it was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. Yeah.
And the way the panels opened up, it formed like a cross.
Yep.
And then even like a circular head kind of, and the light, it just it blinded the screen, and he just faded back into just bright light. It took my breath away.
No, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. There's just no question about it. I thought the whole thing was great.
I want to mention one other musical or potential musical. I think The Simpsons were on the right track with Planet of the Apes.
Planet of the Apes, the musical.
Chimpanzee.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Rich. Thanks, buddy.
All right, take care.
From chimpanzee A to chimpanzee. You know, I mean, The Simpsons have done some fantastic musical numbers. I mean, you know, the monorail thing? I mean, come on, man. You know, I want to mention, you know, since we're talking about rock operas, and that's essentially what Jesus Christ Superstar is, and the movie version. If you haven't seen the movie version's great. The movie version is terrific. But, I would like to mention Tommy, The Who's Tommy. First of all, it's a terrific album. It's great. It's a classic rock opera. But if you've not seen the movie, have you ever seen the movie Esmeralda Tommy?
I have, yeah.
I love it. I love it because Jack Nicholson singing. You know, you get the Oliver Reed, all these, and it's a very strange movie, a very weird movie, and I love it. Ken Russell directed it. It's an insane movie, and you know, of course, Anne Margaret rolling around in baked beans and soap and stuff is always, and chocolate makes me happy. That's one of my favorite scenes ever filmed in the history of movies. But yeah, if you've not seen Tommy, it's way out there. Like, it's just. It's crazy, and I love that movie. I really, really love it, but it's certifiably insane. So, anyway. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Let's break here for weather and traffic. Hi, good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower here till 5. My dad's going to call in a few minutes to tell a joke because it's Monday morning and it's a jokey-jokey time. We're talking about musicals. What are your favorite musicals? Which ones can you watch over and over again? What about live musicals? Which ones have you seen that you really loved? This is all because of last night's outstanding and incredible production of Jesus Christ Superstar that just blew me away. And I'm showing a Little Shop of Horrors tomorrow night, so it's kind of a musical thing happening. And I have a list here of AFI's greatest musicals, movie-wise as well, and then we can talk about some top-grossing Broadway musicals as well. And we're getting a ton of texts, a few more. Let's catch up on some of these, and then we'll get to some of the movie musicals here that are that people love. Robert says, as a young man, I never missed a showing of Rocky Horror. I also dropped the remote when Grease is on. I've only seen one musical on stage, and that was The Lion King. It was a gift for my wife, but to my surprise, I enthusiastically loved it. I thought Esmeralda, have you ever seen The Lion King?
On stage?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, it's so good. Dan, have you ever seen it?
I have.
Good.
It was fantastic.
Yeah. God. Beth and Racine says, my favorite musical is Hamilton, and a close second is Wicked. If I'm ever trying to get something done and need something to get me moving, I turn on the Hamilton soundtrack, and it gets me going. Yeah, Hamilton has got to be the phenomenon right now, right? I mean, how many years now? 4 or 5 years now it's been?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
in like a phenomenon?
Right.
312 area code says, when I was a kid every year around this time, I couldn't wait to see the musical Godspell. It was similar to Jesus Christ Superstar. Godspell, here's the thing. Do you like Godspell, Dan?
I do. One of my favorite teachers, Sister Ann, played it for us while in class.
Yeah. Esmeralda, you ever seen Godspell?
I haven't.
It's really good. I like it a lot. And it's what's the big hit song was from it. There were, I mean, obviously the people knew the soundtrack, but there was one. Three things I pray to see thee more clear. Day by day. Day by day. That song rules. Here's the thing about my experience with Godspell is that was a favorite among the coaches who had to teach religion at Luther North. Because some of the coaches were like, oh, man, I got to teach religion. So it was like, memorize the books of the Bible. I'll be in the back smoking. And then they would like we're going to watch Jesus of Nazareth because that was a miniseries. So that takes out 3 weeks. You know, that's 3 weeks worth of worth of classes where they just wheel in the AV unit, pop in Jesus of Nazareth. So I can't tell you the number of times I saw Godspell at school because they'd be like, yeah, we're going to watch Godspell. We're like, oh, come on, man. I mean, I like it, but do we really? I mean, this is your curriculum, really? We're going to watch Godspell for the 50th time?
In our religion class at St. Pat's, our teacher showed us Jesus Christ Superstar and then Jesus of Nazareth, and then we had to defend which one we thought was a more, not necessarily more faithful adaptation, but which one we thought was better. So I took Jesus Christ Superstar, and
ooh,
yeah, so but I won. I beat the other guy. You know, it was just kind of like, but it was pretty funny because Jesus of Nazareth was definitely more of a favorite among the crowd because it took up more of a class, and we could just sit there and
and not only that though, but like one of the points that that the Billy Graham made was that there is no resurrection in Jesus Christ Superstar,
right?
There is in Jesus of Nazareth.
Right.
And that's like the whole story. That's like the big... That's
right. Right. That's a pretty crucial part of the story.
That's a very crucial part of the story. And I would think that at St. Pat's, they'd be like, why did you choose Jesus Christ Superstar? Okay. Let me see. 440 area code says, paint your wagon was a lot of fun. That's another thing that the Simpsons make fun of. You remember that, Esmeralda, with the Simpsons?
Yeah.
To paint your wagon. Anyone who gives Lee Marvin and Clint Eastwood a chance to sing can't be all bad. Even Clint Eastwood admitted in an interview that in those days they wanted all their stars to sing at least once. 708 area code. I have too many favorite musicals to pick just one, but one musical I did not like was Pretty Woman, the musical. Oh. I would have liked it more if it didn't have any music or at all, or it was at least the soundtrack from the movie. The music was not good. Oh, poor Bryan Adams. In all of my 30-plus years in theater, that show was the first time I ever left a play early. Oh, wow. And it's testing out pre-Broadway right here in Chicago. That's not a good review. It's a bad idea, anyway. Who thought, I want to make a musical out of Pretty Woman? It'll be a show about a guy, a rich jerk who buys a prostitute to hang out with him. Let's have a lovely little, and we'll get Bryan Adams to do the music. 231 area code says, my old high school just finished a production of Beauty and the Beast, and it was awesome. 331 area code, Miss Saigon and the Sound of Music. You know what's really amazing is that Les Mis on stage, great. The movie? Horrendous. I hated that movie, and I really, really liked that musical. That movie was terrible. And it's even more than just Russell Crowe sucking. I mean, Russell Crowe was awful in it, but there was a lot more wrong with that movie than just Russell Crowe. Can't blame the whole thing on Russell Crowe. I've said this, I told you this before. Took me 4 viewings to get through it. I had the screener. Had the screener at home, and I had to watch it in 4 separate viewings because I was like, I can't go more than 25 minutes with this. I can't do it. Terrible. I guess most people consider the greatest movie musical to be Singing in the Rain. That would be the one. Esmeralda, have you seen Singing in the Rain?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I love that movie. And it really is. I mean, it kind of is the set standard that you should compare other movie musicals, because it's very cinematic, beautifully, beautifully made, and the songs are great, and the numbers are good, and it's a beautifully made piece of cinema. Lots of people love Wizard of Oz. I'm not a big, huge fan of Wizard of Oz. Sound of Music, obviously, is a classic. How about Mary Poppins? And they've got that remake or the sequel coming out. Have you seen this, Esmeralda?
Yeah, I've seen those trailers.
Emily Blunt playing a little Mary Poppins. American in Paris, another great movie. My Fair Lady, as you mentioned, Esmeralda, came out in 1964. Meet Me in St. Louis, which, of course, is now a famous, you know, everybody watches that one at Christmas. So these are just a few. If you guys want to jump in, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. What are your favorite musicals? And if you want to text us or call us, there you go. 312-981-7200. All right, we're going to break. We got the news coming up next. Good morning, everyone. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's Monday morning. In just a few minutes, my dad's going to be calling in to tell a joke because it's Monday and it's a jokey time. And we're talking about musicals. What are some of your favorite musicals, either stage or movie? And this is because of the tremendous production of Jesus Christ Superstar that was live in concert last night on NBC. It was just so, so great. And that got us to thinking about other musicals and all that cool stuff. Let's go back to the phones. Here's Paulette on WGN. Hi, Paulette.
Hi, Nick.
Hi.
Hi. You know, like you had mentioned, my greatest favorite is, of course, Singing in the Rain.
Mm-hmm.
But the other one that I absolutely love is The Music Man. With Robert Preston.
Robert Preston is unbelievable. Robert Preston is just amazing. Yeah.
When he does Trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Shirley Jones. Who's the comedian that played the Buddy Hackett?
Yeah, Buddy Hackett.
He's in it.
Yeah,
and Opie, of course.
Right. Yeah. No, Music Man is terrific. It's just a great play in general. It's a great musical in general. But you know, Robert Preston, that guy was just he was one of the best ever.
Yeah.
You know, and I loved him. Did you? It's not necessarily. There's a lot of music in it, but did you see Victor Victoria?
Yes, I did.
He's so great in that movie. Yeah. It's not really a musical. There's a lot of songs in it, but it's technically not really a musical. But I love him in that movie, too.
I have one little bit of trivia.
Okay.
I can't remember her name, but the actress who played Shirley Jones' mother in the movie was the first Alice Cramden.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, before...
Before Audrey Meadows?
Yeah, before it actually became a regular TV show, when it was like a little featured skit.
Right, on the Jackie Gleason show, yeah.
Right. She was the first one.
There you go. That's a great piece of trivia. Paulette, thank you.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Have a great morning. You know, Esmeralda, I was in a musical.
Really?
Yeah, Factory Theater has done a few musicals in their history, but I mean, obviously, it wasn't an adaptation of a pop. It was because what the Factory does are all originals,
right?
So it was a musical called Pet Scare Theater, and I played a guy who worked in a pet shop with the woman who owned it,
mm-hmm.
and it's haunted. The pet shop is haunted by ghosts.
Okay, pet ghosts?
No, real like human ghosts.
No.
That would have been much cooler if it were pet ghosts. No, and it
talking
was
talking pet ghosts.
This was like in '96, I guess.
Mm.
And my ex-wife and I were both in it together, and I had a solo.
What's your range or whatever?
I don't know.
Are you a soprano?
I don't know. I don't know what I was. I mean, we did have a musical director,
mm-hmm.
and he did make us sing. And then I can't remember what he gave me.
Did they do it to your voice, or were they like, you do this part because you can sing this?
Well, it was kind of a combination of the two. I remember there were some really. I mean, this is crazy because It was just a guy with a keyboard. There was no full band. It was like, right. You know how you go to Second City, it's just a dude with a keyboard when they do musical numbers? Mm-hmm. That's what this was inspired by. It was like, these, you know, have the guy in the corner with the keyboard playing. And there were some really complicated harmonies in it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't do this. What do we, I mean.
So how did you do?
Well, we did okay. I mean, you know. The show got bad reviews. But I got a nice mention.
Yeah, I was going to say, was there anything about your singing?
Well, they didn't say anything about my singing, but they thought I was funny in the show.
Okay.
Maybe because of my singing. Maybe my singing was the funny part. It was fun to do. I had never, you know, I'd never done a musical before, and I directed a show that had live music in it,
mm-hmm.
like songs and stuff, but I've never directed an actual musical. I'd love to direct a musical.
Did you dance?
Yes, we did.
Oh, boy.
Yes, we did. There was choreography.
Did I had video a video of this?
I had a. I'm sorry.
Did anybody film this?
Yes, we have video. Yes, we do. It has not. I don't. I think it's only on VHS though. I don't think
that's
it's been
fine. We can find a VCR.
Yeah, I had a duet with the girl who was the lead. She also mm-hmm. co-wrote it with her husband, and we had a duet together, and we did like this very nice little romantic dance together. Yeah, and there was choreography throughout the whole thing.
Mm.
So. Yeah, but it was quite something. I remember all my friends would come and see it and go, "Man, what are you doing?"
You're broadening your theatrical horizons.
That's exactly right. That's the only time I ever did a musical. So, let's just say that I'm not. I will say this: I was better than Russell Crowe was in Les Mis.
Wow, geez,
that's not saying much.
That's. You should have tried out then.
Yeah.
You could have maybe been in Les Mis.
I could have been.
You could have won an Oscar.
Could have won an Oscar. You know? Hey, look, if Anne Hathaway can win an Oscar for crying while getting her hair cut mm-hmm. in that movie, then, you know.
Yeah, see? You have a chance.
I do. So do you know what the top grossing Broadway musical is of all time?
I'm going to go with Wicked.
It's Lion King.
Oh, wow. Is it still going?
I think so, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if... Yeah, oh, yeah, of course. It owns Times Square. Like they
so
turned,
then that's now and counting.
I guess so, yeah. It's over $1 billion it's made.
Goodness.
Phantom of the Opera is second with $975 million.
What is it, Cats?
Cats has got to be on here because it was like the longest running show for... Oh, go boy, Cats is number 9. I thought it would be higher than that.
Right. Well, I guess as shows keep going...
Yeah.
They probably.
And also ticket prices going down. Ticket prices are higher now
right.
too. 366 million. Cats ran like that was like the longest run at one point it was the longest running show on Broadway.
Mm-hmm. I remember when Conan there's a skit on Conan's show where they catch him at watching the last Cats and he's crying and I think he might be wearing some Cats makeup.
I wouldn't be surprised if he was, yeah.
And he's just crying his heart out.
Wicked is third. With $867 million. Mamma Mia, $588 million.
I keep forgetting that a lot of these are actual musicals and not just movies.
Yeah, well, a lot, so many have been made into movies.
Yeah.
Like, here's the next one, Chicago, with $504 million. I mean, that's an old show. Chicago was, I want to say, written in the 70s.
Is that smaller, too?
Mm-hmm.
Because I imagine it wouldn't work as well if it's a big production.
Oh, no, it depended. I think when it first opened, it wasn't. I mean, but they have since, you know.
But isn't that the whole thing? Because you're supposed to be like in a club.
Right.
So it should be smaller venues.
Right. That's why it worked on film. That's right. One of the reasons why it worked so well on film was because the structure of it was good for that kind of thing. Jersey Boys with $472 million, coming at sixth. Seventh, Beauty and the Beast. The original Les Mis, $406 million. Have you ever seen Les Mis?
No.
It's good on stage. It's good, though.
That's too much.
Cats coming in at 9. Number 10 is Mary Poppins.
Oh.
So those are your top 10 grossing Broadway shows.
Where's Hamilton?
I would imagine Hamilton is climbing up. Yeah, I mean, because Hamilton is just, you can't get a ticket to that thing.
No.
You can't.
People try to get into the lotteries and all that.
Yeah.
I tried for like a week.
Yeah.
And I got bored. So you had to wake up. I had to wake up. You had to be around at 2 or something to, if you do get in.
Right.
To buy the ticket.
So you had to be there?
No, you had to just be at your email and whatever link they send you if you get the the lot if you win the lottery.
Oh, okay. Boy, that Lin-Manuel, man.
Yeah, good for him.
He doesn't have to work another day in his life.
Well, he had two. He had that and I think it's called In the Heights.
Yeah. That was his first one.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first one. That was also really big. He's a talented dude. 815 area code says, about 10 years ago, I took my young daughters to New York City, and we got half-price tickets for Phantom. I was not excited because I had seen Cats and thought it sucked. However, it was great, and my daughter got a chance to meet the main actor afterwards. Not a fan of Phantom. The chandelier thing was cool. Have you seen it?
No.
There's a giant chandelier.
I've very rarely seen...
Seen Broadway.
Yeah, just because it's so expensive and...
Phantom, not a big, not, and I thought, I can't stand Cats.
Yeah, see, that's that too. They just seem a little too much for my taste.
I mean, it's Andrew Lloyd Webber is hot, and I run hot and cold on Andrew Lloyd Webber, on his stuff. I run very, very hot on Jesus Christ Superstar. I love that. And there are things here and there and other songs that, like, I think Memory's a beautiful song. That's in Cats. That's a beautiful song. So, you know, but I thought, like, Phantom was just, I mean, except for the chandelier. The big giant special effect of a chandelier, like almost crashing on the crowd. That was awesome.
Where's Rent?
Rent's not on the list. That's
really
Rent was huge.
Yeah, I remember. I only know Rent because my old college roommate would play the songs over and over again. So that's the only reason. And then I saw the movie, but I never saw the.
I just want to mention this. One of my best friends in the world is a guy named Mike View. He is as straight a guy.
Yeah.
Like, macho guy. He's like, you can only cry at Brian's song, and that's it. That's
and Rent.
And, no. So really? Here's the thing. He's an actor, and I've worked with him several times. I've been in shows with him. I directed him. He co-wrote Vinyl Shop with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have gone on. We are both, like, very, very, very straight, very heterosexual guys.
Okay.
But, like, seriously. Like, but Mike, you know, like, he's like, Bears. You know, like, he's football. You can't, you know, three of the greatest nights that we spent together, me and Mike, were we went to go see Bring It On together, which is gay. And then we went to go see Rent together. And here's the gayest one, the gayest and most fun we had. We saw Elaine Stritch's one-woman show together.
Is this like a weekend? Like a crazy weekend?
No, this is over a couple of years, over the course of a couple of years. But it was
a crazy weekend you guys spent together.
It was our gay straight weekend.
Yeah. Which Joliet West alum, Anthony Rapp.
Anthony Rapp was in Rent.
Yeah.
That's right. Anthony Rapp was in Rent. That's right. I think the songs are great for Rent.
Yeah, I mean that's how I first came on to it because
your roommate
would just play the songs and I was like, these are great songs.
They're great songs, it's just that the story sucks.
Right. When I saw the movie, I was like,
No, but the music's great. And that 565,600 minutes is a tremendous song.
Yeah.
Beautiful song. And so many, you know what's really funny about it? That's how the second act opens.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're out having a cigarette or something, you're going to miss
the big song.
You're getting, that's like the big, I mean, that's the big number, and that opens up the second act. And I remember we were seated, we had already sat down. People were still coming in while the song was happening. And it's like, oh no, we're missing the big number. And they're running back to their seats so they don't miss the song, Seasons of Love, which is a great song. So, all right. We got a break here for weather and traffic, and then my dad's going to call and tell a joke, and we'll wrap up the whole musical thing.
That was jokey, jokey, jokey time. It was a jokey, jokey, jokey time. Nick's dad told a joke.
That's right, and he'll do it again next week, because we like to kick off your work week with a laugh. All right, we got a few more texts here about musicals, Esmeralda.
Mm-hmm.
Robert says the music... Oh, you know, I should have asked my dad about all that jazz. I should have while I had him on the line, because he would have just gone nuts and started screaming about how much he hates it.
Are there no other musicals that he likes?
I don't think he likes musicals.
None
and
at all.
He'll be there tomorrow for a Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, maybe he'll...
No, I think he likes that movie. I think he likes it, but he hated all that jazz.
Right.
And I know that Mary agrees with him.
But I also like that you want to prod him with the movie that he hates the most.
But it's so funny. His reaction to all that jazz is just... I've never seen him react
to a
movie.
Bring up all the bad memories.
Never seen him react so negatively to a movie. Like, oh, my God. I couldn't wait for that guy to die. He's like saying... And that's one of my favorite movies of all time. All that jazz. Oh, boy. All right. Robert says, The Music Man is the one that I ever – it was the first one I ever saw and remains a classic. I also like Phantom. My wife's cousin was part of the touring company, and we got to go backstage. Oh, that's cool. It's amazing the amount of work that goes into putting something up that good. You know, like at the curtain call last night watching Jesus Christ Superstar.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of people that came out on stage and, you know, the amount of musicians and all that stuff, it's insane. It's insane. And the set was beautiful and all. It's just, that's a lot of work, man, to put something like that up. It's a lot of work.
For one day.
Yeah, for this just one.
The one thing.
The one performance, yeah. Now, if you're doing it for a run, if you're, you know, if you're doing like 6-8 weeks.
Right.
That's a little, this
is one and done.
One and done. So, Brent from Michigan says, Fiddler on the Roof. Or as Fred Sanford calls it, we wouldn't go see that movie, Fiddler Up the Roof. 847, Les Mis, Hello Dolly, My Fair Lady, and Rent were the best. 770 said, The Blues Brothers movie is a true musical. It pays tribute to classic R&B. 630 area code says, Billy Elliot with Elliot Hanna was amazing. God, I remember when Billy Elliot was so big.
I had to promote that. I was working one of those promotion gigs that you would just hand out stuff, and I had to wear a tutu on the street.
Please tell us there's pictures of that.
I think there is. Oh, yeah, there is. There is one of me with one of the other guys I worked with, and then this, he's a host of a television show on Univision.
Okay.
And he just came out of a car one day on the side of the street on Michigan Avenue, and we're like, oh, my God. You're that guy.
You're that guy from Univision.
And we took a picture.
You took a picture with him.
And we're wearing our tutus.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Did you get to see the show at least?
No. Nope. I probably could have if I'd asked. I didn't bother.
815 area code. Dreamgirls is my favorite. That's another one where the movie wasn't very good. Growing up, Oliver was my favorite. 773 area code. 312 says The year 2000 straight to DVD of Jesus Christ Superstar is actually the Broadway production with the cast from London and New York. If you like last night's production, pick that up and you'll see where the staging and costumes came from with no commercial interruptions.
Mm.
Okay. So it wasn't a remake, which is good. 847 says, I like La La Land a lot. I normally am not a musical fan. I love La La Land. 7-3, my favorite is Damn Yankees. We saw a production of it years ago with Jerry Lewis playing the role of the devil. I was there. I went twice. That was when I asked the question about Day the Clown Cried. And he was great. He was great. 815 loves Willy Wonka. 7-7, oh, Guys and Dolls. Guys and Dolls is good. That's good.
I just think of The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah.
Guys and Dolls. We're just a bunch of guys and dolls.
Well, they really do. They've had a lot of musical jokes and stuff over the years. That's right. 815, Music Man and Oklahoma both were great musicals with Partridge Family mom Shirley Jones. By the way, she just had her 93rd birthday.
Goodness.
Flashy musicals with big numbers are great. I like to watch musicals like Brigadoon and Sunset Boulevard. Sunset Boulevard is that's a good one. Sunset Boulevard is a good one. I annually watch Yankee Doodle Dandy on the 4th of July. Michael from Iowa says, how about Funny Girl and Hello Dolly? And an 815 area code says, I have seen Superstar many times. Last night's production, breathtaking. It deserves oodles of awards. I agree with that 100%. So, hey, Dan, who's on the show tomorrow?
Tom Appel.
Tom Appel! Esmeralda, I know you've been looking for a car.
Yeah. Actually, you should ask him about those tiny cars.
Yeah.
Those tiny cars that are coming to the city.
Yeah, the little, yeah.
They're not scooters, but
yeah.
Just enclosed go-karts.
Yeah, little go-karts. All right. Well, Tom Appel's going to be here, and we'll talk to him tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
All right. We got the news coming up.